Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is B'choros Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 12 lines from the top of Daf Zayin. You will notice a triangle that is inverted, namely its point, its tip is pointing downwards. We're in the middle of a discussion that we started at the tail end of our previous shiur, Daf Vov, in which we discussed, or are discussing, Shitas Rebbe Shimon concerning a case of a kosher variety mother animal bearing what looks like an unkosher variety animal. According to Rebbe Shimon, if a let us say a cow bore a horse-looking offspring, and the offspring looks totally like a horse, Reb Shimon would call that a tomei, meaning an unkosher situation. That offspring, even though it comes from a kosher source, it nevertheless, according to Rabbi Shimon, is unkosher. What is the halacha if the unkosher-looking creature, roishoi verubo, though its head and most of its body looks like the kosher mother? Will the fact that Rosh HaVerubo resembles the mother enable one to eat this offspring? So in our marking scheme, we have triangles in two directions, with the triangle facing upwards, as we featured at the end of our previous shiur. That will indicate that for eating, Rabbi Shimon also has this requirement, that it has to have Rosh HaVerubo, and not just Miktsas Simona, not just a partial resemblance to the mother, but it has to have more than just a partial resemblance. With the triangle facing down, we will attempt to conclude that as far as eating is concerned, partial resemblance, Miktsas Simonim, will be sufficient, and you don't need to have Rosh HaVerubo. Let us now commence with the Gemara. This is called Tu Aleph. Later in the Gemara, there will be a second version of this approach, and that will be noted with a bays to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So this right now is Tu Aleph. Toshma, Ach es ze lo tochelu, mimale hagera umafrise haparsa. And the pasuk goes on to enumerate animals, and it says es hagomol, etc. And we infer ze I ato oichel, avo ato oichel, habo besimen echad. You cannot eat an actual camel. However, if you have an offspring from a kosher variety animal that looks a little like its mother, then you could eat that. What is that we are referring to? We already explained, but here it says it in the text. Ze tomei hanoilad min hator v'iburo min hator. This is the offspring that is, he calls it tomei, but we'll see later that that's a reference to it looks like an unkosher variety offspring. However, both its parents, and this we have to emphasize, both of its parents are kosher variety. That's what the expression min hator v'iburo min hator, meaning the mother is tohor and it became impregnated by a tohor male animal. Yochel afilu iburo min hatomei. What would be the din if it was impregnated by an unkosher variety animal? So this shita, Rabbi Yeshua will say no. Talmud Lomar se ksavim vse izim. Ad shehe aviv keves v'imo kivsa, divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Kashrus, allowance to eat, will not be unless both parents, male and female, are kosher variety. The Rashi explains regarding this pasuk of Sek Hisafim is Sehaba Mishnei Kvasim. In other words, both parents have to be kosher variety. We circled Rabbi Yeshua for emphasis purposes, and the same with regard to Rabbi Elezer Omer. Lo bo hakosuv lahatir es hamutar. Rabbi Elezer goes further in leniency than Rabbi Yeshua and says, you don't need a pasuk to allow that which is obviously mutar. In other words, according to Rabbi Elezer, where both parents are kosher variety, it's obvious that the offspring will be allowed. Ela lahoisif al hamutar v'ezeh. Where the pasuk is coming to add to the list of allowed animals, and what is that? Ze tome hanoilad min hatohor viburu min atome. This is an offspring that is tome, that looks like an unkosher variety animal, coming from a mother who was impregnated by a unkosher variety male. And again, a kosher variety mother impregnated by an unkosher variety male. Oy, eino, elo, iburo, min, hatohar. Maybe the intent is like Rabbi Yeshua said. Talmud loimar, sek, savim, vese, izim. Mikol mokom means even if one tzad, namely the mother, alone is kosher variety. The Rashi says, from the fact that it says se in the pasuk twice, it says se kvasim, kisavim, and se izim. This comes to tell me that even if from the tzad of the mother alone, it is kosher variety, that is sufficient. Now the Gemara goes on. Kori le tome kerebi Shimon. This offspring that was described as Tomei Hanolad, it's a reference to an animal that looks like an unkosher variety animal, meaning it has no split hooves, it has a closed hoof. And it's naming, that categorizing of such a creature, closed hoof, coming from kosher, from a kosher mother. We see in this source it's referred to as a tomei. That is in lines with Rabbi Shimon. That's Kerebi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's shita is that a creature that doesn't look at all like the mother is forbidden to eat. V'ko'omar, and in this same source that is taught in the spirit of Rabbi Shimon, it says, Avo ata oichel habo b'simen echod. You can eat it if it has, simen echod means it has a partial resemblance to the mother. Not even, you don't need to have roshe v'rubo. So at this point then, we would want to conclude that Shitas Rabbi Shimon, as is reflected in this source, even though his name doesn't appear, but we just said that the source is in the spirit of Rabbi Shimon. It says here, Simen Echod is enough. Simen Echod means just partial resemblance, even if it doesn't have Roshei Verubo, which would be much more. That alone, Miksas Simonim, is enough to machshir it for eating. The Gemara rejects this. Don't forget, we're analyzing Rabbi Shimon himself. So the Gemara says, "Hai Tana Sovar Le Kavose Bechado Upolig Ole Bechado." This Tanaic source accepts Rabbi Shimon on one point, but disagrees with him on another point. which means for us that it agrees with him insofar as an animal that that does not look at all like the parent is forbidden, and hence would categorize it as tome. However, it disagrees with Rabbi Shimon as far as the requirements for enabling you to, yes, eat it. According to this source, partial resemblance is enough. According to Rabbi Shimon himself, you would need rosho verubo. The Gemara continues in its quest for, more accurately, at this point the Gemara presents a second lashon of what we just discussed, the Ika Demakshi Umoisiv. Notice we have a long point marking that accompanies this section on the left-hand side of the Gemara. That means that this second version will last till that point in the Gemara. What is the approach taken right now? Rashi explains the Ika Demakshi. Rashi says, Iko demakshi kushyo lahach braisa. There's a different approach that raises a question on the braisa, and umitocha kushyo meshiv dover l'shoyel. Iboy Rabbi Shimon roshu v'ruboy l'achila oiloy. And in the course of the answer to the question that we pose on the source, we will deal with our topic, namely Rabbi Shimon's requirements for eating when it comes to a freakish offspring that doesn't look quite like the mother. The Gemara. The Iko Demakshi Umoisiv. There are those that ask on this source and eventually give an answer. This source said, Iburo min hatome, a kosher variety mother that was Iburo, its pregnancy, its impregnation was from an unkosher variety animal. So with that we ask, mi ma'abra, could that possibly be? For example, could a horse impregnate a cow? The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We should also note before going any further that this is a long question. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line. All of these lines constitute the question. So just to review, the question is, how can you say that a kosher variety mother animal became impregnated through an unkosher variety father animal? The Ha'omer of Shua ben Levi, Lo'oilom ein misaberes, Lo'i tameo min ha'tohor, V'lo tohoro min ha'tome. In the meantime, it says that an unkosher variety female cannot be impregnated by a tohor, a kosher variety male, and likewise the other way around as well. Cannot become impregnated. V'lo'i gaso min ha'daka, V'lo daka min ha'gaso. A sheep and cow relationship cannot result in procreation, in impregnation. Velo behemo minachaya velo chaya mina behemo. And likewise, a domesticated animal cannot be impregnated through an undomesticated animal. That's a reference, for example, to cows and deer. That's the immediate question about how can that possibly be. We have a small bracketed section that we will skip initially. The Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah explains, gives a teretz to that and says, what do you mean when you say Iburo min atome? It's the Iaber Mikolut ben Poro, Valiba de Rabbi Shimon Ka'omar. What really is meant in this source is when it says an unkosher variety animal impregnated a kosher variety animal, that unkosher is not a separate category of animal. Rather, it is a creature that was born from a kosher variety animal that simply had closed hoofs. In other words, it looked like an unkosher variety animal. But as far as its DNA is concerned, it's basically the same as its mate. So if you have what's called a kolut ben para, kolut is a closed-hoofed animal that was itself born from a cow. So you have a male closed-hoof creature that was born from a cow, and now this closed hoof thing mates with a cow that will result in fertility or impregnation. And as such, there will be a vlad that results. An offspring will be born from that. And calling such a thing a tome, that is in line with Rabbi Shimon. Vekomar, and in this source it said, Avol ato oichel abo besimen echad. In this very same source, you can see we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align that with the star on the upper part of the page and see where this is coming from. We see from here that Simen Echad means just partial resemblance to the mother is enough, and you don't need to have Roshe Verubo according to Rabbi Shimon. That would have answered our original question regarding what are Rabbi Shimon's standards with regard to Achila. Nevertheless, the Gemara rejects this, just like we saw above. Hai Tana Sovar Lo Kavosei Bechada. The Tana will agree with Rabbi Shimon that a Tomei Shenoled Min HaTor is called Tomei, and disagree with him on the other point, that namely Rabbi Shimon will require Rosh of Arubo to Matir Bachila, to allow eating, whereas this Tana will say that even Simen Echad, even partial resemblance, is enough. We had above a small section that we skipped. Let us go back to that line and read it in isolation. Discussion in the course of our discussion, we had said, after quoting Rabbi Shua ben Levi as saying that impregnation cannot take place when you're mating different varieties. We said lo mi behemo with chaya chay be behemo. Chutz mi Rabbi Lezer machlukosoi shoyu omrim chayo misaberes mi behemo. Except for Rabbi Lezer and he who disagrees with him, that says a chayo could become impregnated through a behemo. So regarding that one relationship, there is a controversy. However, as far as our general discussion is concerned, we weren't focusing on chaya and behema so much as we were on tamei min hatohar. And as we already demonstrated, there was an attempt here to say that Rabbi Shimon would have said miksa simonim would be enough. However, the Gemara rejected that conclusion. We now continue with the Gemara at a point at which you see another bracketed section. The purpose of these brackets are explained in our note on the inside margin, where we have written Acharei HaSugrayim after these brackets. And by the way, as far as the length is concerned, you use our bracket length indicator. To the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, you will see a vertical dash dotted line. If you follow to the end of that, you'll notice that line in the Gemara where the brackets closes. So in after the brackets, we have noted on the side, Hagmor Mamshicho Lahovi Hoy Chochois L'Diyun B'Shitas Rabbi Shimon Iboy Roshiv Rubo Doima Le'Aim V'Hatiro B'Achila. The Gemara will continue trying to bring proofs as to what Shitas Rabbi Shimon is regarding the issue of how much similarity to mother is necessary when it bears a freakish offspring looking like an unkosher variety animal. Besoicham, within the bracketed section, Hagemora dona b'shitos Rabbi Elazar b'Shua b'inyan zeh v'zeh gorem u'liyashiv stira b'emdosam. Within the brackets, the Gemara gets off onto a side discussion concerning something called zeh v'zeh gorem. If you have a product, and in order to achieve the product, there were two inputs. In our case, one input was mutter, and the other input was forbidden. As is obvious from our discussion, you have an offspring resulting from the mating of two parents. The kosher variety female mating with an unkosher variety male. That's an example, one example of many possibilities in this realm of zeh v'zeh gorem. how do we evaluate the result where you have two different inputs, one of which is allowed and one of which is not allowed? As we mentioned before, after the brackets, you will notice a triangle with the point facing up, at which point the Gemara will finally conclude what Rabbi Shimon's opinion is on the matter of similarity to mother with regards to heter achila. That having been said, let us now learn the bracketed section. This is a section of Gemara that we also entitled in the outside margin under our no say and indicated Basocha Sagraim, Liashev Stira Beshitas Rabbelezer Shimon Beinyan Zevezegorim. The role of the Gemara is to resolve what will appear to be a contradiction within Rabbi Lezer and within Rabbi Yoshua, respectively. Above, just to review, we said that Rabbi Yoshua was strict, and he said that only if both parents are considered a kosher variety, then the offspring will be allowed, even though it looks like an unkosher variety animal, provided it has some resemblance to the mother. According to Rabbi Lezer, even if one of the partners was unacceptable, namely, the father was called Tomei, and we explained Tomei meant Kolut, but we're working within Shitas Rabbi Shimon that says that that's not acceptable. It's an unkosher type father. Even though, as far as its DNA is concerned, that's one thing, but halacha doesn't reflect biology at all times. So, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, it's considered an unkosher variety. It's considered unkosher. It mated with a tahor, so you have a goreim of Isser, the father, mating with the mother, which is a goreim of heter. And you saw Rabbi Elezer ruling leniently that the offspring could be allowed, provided it has a partial similarity. Now we ask in the brackets, Lameimro de Rabbi Elezer sover zevezegorim muter, Rabbi Yeshua sover zevezegorim osur, v'ha ibcha shaminon lehu. How can you say that Rabbi Eliezer is lenient and Rabbi Yeshua is strict when we have a Tanaic source that would indicate just the opposite? Disnan, Vlad Trefa, the offspring of a mother, that's a Trefa, and the father is a Tumim, is complete, is healthy. So you have the offspring coming from parents, one being unacceptable, the other acceptable. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lo Yikrav Lagabi Mizbeach. The Shita Mekubetzis adds that this halacha of Lo Yikrav Lagabi Mizbeach, that you shall not use it as a sacrifice, is not limited to issues of sacrifice. He says even for as common meat, even outside the realm of sacrifices, Rabbi Elezer will be strict. For Rabbi Yeshua, the source goes on to say, Yikrav Lagabi Mizbeach. And Rabbi Yeshua likewise is not limited to the issue of offering sacrifices, but he will say that for personal consumption it is also allowed. Well, what do we see from this? We see, here's an example of Zevezegorim. The mother's a Trefa, the father is kosher. And Trefa means, is a reference not to what the way we use the term Trefa in common jargon, but Trefa is a specific organ defect that is featured in Maseches Chulin. There is a list of 18 specific trefos, and that renders the mother in this case as being unfit for as a korban. But there is a father that is tomim. So Rabbi Eliezer says that that's not allowed. When we saw above, in a case of Zev Ezegorem, Rabbi Eliezer was lenient. So the Gemara answers as follows. Be'almo sov Rabbi Eliezer Zev Ezegorem osur. In general, when you have two inputs, one of which is forbidden, Rabbi Eliezer will rule strictly. V'shayni hocha. In our case above, with regard to animals suitable for eating, this is different, and this is because you have what's called a gzeres hakosuv, because of the detail in the psukim, we come out with a point of leniency. The im kain, if it were so that iburo min hatomei would be usur, if that were so, then nichtoiv kra, then the posuk should have written se ksavim ve'izim. It doesn't say that though. It says se twice. It says se ksavim v'se'izim. So se v'se lomali. Why the repetition of the term se? Shma mino, from here we learn se mikomakom, that as far as the parsha of eating of kashrus of animals are concerned, we have this leniency, but it's limited to that parsha, limited to that section of law. Rabbi Yeshua Omar Loch, the Alma Zevazegori Mutter. In general, where you have this double input, one being not allowed, we will rule leniently. Vahacha, however, with regard to Kashrus, we have a different story. Im kein lichtoiv kro, shor se kesev v'se eiz. Again, shor se kesev v'se eiz. In the singular. Rather, ksavim ve'izim lomali. Why do the animals appear in the plural? In other words, if Rabbi Eliezer's argument was correct, then it could have said se kesev se eiz, where you have the doubling of the word se, but it also says ksavim, the plural of the word sheep, or izim, plural of the word goat. Why are those animals stated in the plural? Shma mino atshe oviv keves v'imo kivsa, because we want on the parent level them to be both kosher variety. And hence, in the realm of kashrus, Rabbi Yeshua issues a strict ruling. Once again, only because of the pasuk, not as a general rule. And as a result of this, just to repeat what we've just said, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua have a general approach to cases of zev zeh gorem, which is something that has very, very broad application, can have application to planting seeds in a field where one aspect of the planting is allowed and another aspect is forbidden, and then you have the resulting plant. What is the rule? There, too, is an application of zev zeh gorem. However, regarding kashrus, there is a specific reason for Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar holding their respective opinions, even though it seems to go against their general principle with regard to zev zeh gorem. Nevertheless, the Gzeiros HaKosuv overrules and states its case specifically with regard to kashrus. Toshma, we now go back to our regular discussion concerning Shitas Rabbi Shimon of what is required in terms of the offspring when it's a freakish offspring, looking like it's coming from a kosher parent, however it looks like an unkosher type creature. Would it be sufficient if it just looks a little bit like the mother, or do you need to have roshei verubo in order for it to be mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon? Toshma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, gomol gomol, shnei pamim. The Torah repeats the prohibition of eating camel twice. Echad gomol hanoled mina gomol. That one is a reference to a purebred gomol, a standard camel. The echad gomol hanoled min hapora. And the other prohibition, the other gomol, is a reference to a camel that's born from a cow, which means a freakish-looking offspring that looks like a camel. V'im roshoi v'ruboi doime li'imoi muter b'achila. Here you have an explicit statement by Rabbi Shimon on our topic. We've dashed underlined this. This section, because this is the main point. Shma mino, we conclude from here. La chilonami boy Rabbi Shimon, roshe verubo. Shma mino. That with regard to eating, Rabbi Shimon requires this standard of roshe verubo. And mixas simonim is not enough. We should point out what the term nami, just to review yesterday's shiur. Nami means in addition to halachas of bechora, also with regard to halachas of eating, of kashrus hamozon, you will require rosho verubo. Continuing in the Gemara, this brings us to a new point mentioned in the Mishnah, a new point based on what it says in the Mishnah, Shayotze min atome, tome, etc. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin. In this case, the structural note is here because we want to feature the fact that there are two Lishonos in the Gemara. And they are illustrated by a Roman numeral number 1 that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and on Omid Bey's second line from the top, you will see a Roman numeral number 2. What are these Lishonos dealing with? So we've indicated there are Shnei Lishonos ba-Gemara, Be'inyan Mei Raglayim de Chamor, two versions of the Gemara regarding how the Halacha will look at the consumption of the urine of a donkey. E mutter bachila, is it allowed to be consumed? Up till now, we may have mentioned things like camel milk or donkey milk. That would be forbidden. That's called yotze min haosur, hayotze min atome, tome. Bo'u mino merav sheshes. Rav Sheshes was asked, mei raglayim shel chamor mahu. The Gemara reports that they asked of Rav Sheshes, what is the halacha regarding the consumption of donkey urine? V'tiboya lehu, the Gemara asks on the question, why do they not ask about the susim u'gemalim? Let them ask about horse and camel urine. Why is the focus on donkey urine? So the Gemara answers, de susim u'gemalim lo miboya lehu. The issue of horse and camel urine is not a question at all. Delo akiri, it's not murky. It's a clear liquid. Velo domu lecholav, it has no resemblance to milk. Milk being a non-transparent liquid, and as such, with regard to camel and horse urine, the Gemara says, Maya oil, Maya nofik. It drank water, so to speak, and it eliminates water. You know, it's what went in comes out. And as such, there would be no issue. It would be totally allowed, because it's clear that this is not coming at all from, it's not a function of something that's mixed with some type of body release, body exusion. However, ki komibaya lehu the chamor da'akiri v'domu lecholav mai. The question comes up concerning donkey urine. It is different. It's not a clear transparent liquid. It's murky, and as a result of this, it gives it a milky look. And the question is two parts. Aleph oy dilma beis. You can see we illustrate these two parts of the question with this notation. In the Gemara it says, Migufe ko mim tzitzi vasiri, is the urine something that absorbs some type of body exusion? Like it's mim tzitzi, it sucks, it sucks up something from the body, and therefore it would be forbidden because you have some type of donkey material in this urine. Odomo, maya oil, maya nofuk. Or it could very well be what it drank is basically coming out. V'haidakiri, and the murkiness, hevlo de bisrahu. That's only a function of it having been inside the animal, and the heat of the animal caused it to become murky. Hevlo as a reference to heat, body heat, caused the murkiness, but not a function of some type of body exusion. Omar Luhu Rav Sheshes. Tenisuas, Rav Sheshes says, you can conclude your answer from the following Tanaic source. And the source says, Shayotzi min atome tome, Vayotzi min atohor tor. This is our Mishnah. And it says, in the Mishnah Yotze min hatome, two words. Mitome lo komar. The Gemara points, it doesn't say hayotze mitome, that which comes from an unkosher variety animal, using one word. Elo min hatome. Vahani nami mino de tomehu. The Gemara appears to be working with a type of play on language, that instead of having said mitome, it's spelled out the word min hatome. Min literally means from the tome, just like the letter mem would have conveyed. But since this source opted to use to spell out the word min, mem, nun, we're taking it to mean type. Hayotze min, an item from the tome. And as such, Rashi explains at the top of Omid Beis, Mitome havi mashmi gufe de tome. Had it used the word mitome, it would have conveyed the idea coming from the body of the tome. Min hatome mashma mino shel tome. Which is hein de domu lecholov, something that looks like milk. So by the use of the word min hatame, it points to the urine of the donkey as something that looks like something else. It looks like milk, and hence it will be forbidden. V'ika di amri. Now a second version of this discussion. Desusim ugimalim lo komibaya lahu. As far as horses and camels, the issue concerning their urine is not an issue. The lo shosu inchi, it's something people don't drink at all. And therefore, we're not going to talk about something that has no practical application. Ki komibaya lahu de chamor, de shosu inchi umalu liarkuna mai. The question comes up concerning chamor urine, donkey urine specifically or exclusively, because that is something that's consumed. It has a medicinal value for healing yarkuna. Yarkuna is a type of ailment that by the consumption of donkey urine one could experience improvement. Omar Lahu Rav Sheshes Tenisuha. You're asking about donkey urine, so we have a Tanaic source, our Mishnah. It says, Hayotze min hatomei tomei, vayotze min hatohor tor, vahani nami mitomei ka'osu. This, too, is coming forth from the tomei. Now, in order to appreciate this, we look at Rashi, second line from the top, vahani nami mitomei ka'osu, shebesoch hatomei hoyu. The urine is coming from within the donkey. V'afagav delav migufe mimtzon, even though it doesn't absorb something from the body of the donkey itself, nevertheless, asiri, it's forbidden. So according to Rav Sheshes, since it's coming from the body of the of that which is forbidden, so the liquid is also forbidden. On this we ask, Mipnei meisvei, mipnei ma omru dvash dvorim mutter. Why is honey that is produced by bees allowed to be eaten? Why is that something that one can consume? After all, it comes from bees, and one is not allowed to eat bees. They're forbidden from the Torah. So why is their honey allowed? Mipnei shemachnisois oisoi legufon, v'einon mematzois oisoi migufon. The bees collect pollen from plants. They collect the sap or whatever they are consuming from the plants. It goes into their bodies and leaves their bodies without absorbing anything from the bee body itself. That's what Einon Mimatsois Oisoi Migufon. So we see from this that if something goes in and comes out without being Mimatsois Migufon, it is allowed. So then how is it that Rav Sheshes said regarding the donkey urine, that even though it's not mimatzeis migufan, it is aser. The Gemara answers, who the Omar Rav Sheshes, who was strict, is based on Rabbi Yankiv. The Omar, Rabbi Yankiv says, Duvsha Rachmona Sharya. Devash is allowed by virtue of not an objective analysis, but by virtue of a scriptural allowance, Exerus HaKosuf, that allows honey to be eaten. In other words, by all standards, honey should be forbidden because it was in the body of something forbidden, in the bee. Just like we said, the urine passed through the body of the donkey. However, with regard to honey, we treat it differently, only because the pasuk treats it differently. The sanya, Rabbi Yankiv Oimer, ach eze tochelu. Mikol Sheret Ha'oif. The pasuk is saying that from winged creatures, this you can eat. Now, what is that pasuk telling us? Amongst other things, Ze Ata Ochel, V'i Ata Ochel Sheret Ha'oif Tomei. This you can eat, but something else you cannot eat, then that is Sheret Ha'oif Tomei. The Gemara asks, well, Sheret Ha'oif Tomei Behedyksiv, I don't need to draw an inference from this pasuk, which we opened up the source with, that stated in the positive, and infer the negative, when I have a specific explicit pasuk dealing with the forbidden sheretz ha'of. So, what is the purpose of the inference from the opening pasuk? Ela, sheretz of tomei iata ochel, aval ata ochel ma she'of. Tomei Mashritz. The opening pasuk then is a type of we can say positive, negative, and then positive. In other words, the negative is not really learned from the inference of the positive. That's stated elsewhere. However, from the negative we come to the positive, meaning that the forbidden creature itself you cannot eat. However, there is something that comes from the forbidden creature that you are allowed to eat. What is that? Zedvash dvorim. This is bee from the honeys. So what? Just to review the last point, we said the oif tome, sheretz oif tome, you cannot eat. However, you can eat that which comes forth from a forbidden winged creature. And what is that a reference to? The honey that comes forth from the bee, which is a forbidden winged creature. What about the honey that's produced by these other kind of creatures, gozin and sirin? No need for us to attempt translating them. Just recognize that they are other creatures. They're not bees. Rashi says they're a type of arba, a type of locust. Amris loy, no. Our heter will not extend to dvash gazin and dvash tzirin. Umarois rabbis dvorim lohotzi agazin me'ev tzirin. What is it that we see to include as being allowed the honey of bees and exclude the honey from the gazin and tzirin? Answer, marba nidvash dvorim shem lo shem levai. I include as being allowed honey produced from bees because it is called honey, devash alone, without any accompanying names. Umotzi ani devash hagazin vatzirin shiesh lo shem levai. I exclude those insofar as they're not called straight honey, they're called devash gozin. They have a compound name. And when the Torah makes reference to honey as being allowed, it's a reference to honey alone, honey without a compound name associated with it. Keman Azlo Ha Desanya. Based on whom would the following source conform? Devash Hagazin Vahatsirin Tohor Umutur Vachila. Tohor means it's not going to be makabel tumas oichlin. In other words, it's not considered a food item. However, it is mutter to eat. Well, if you tell us that Dvash Gozin Tzirin is mutter to eat, I can tell you that's Delo Karebi Yankiv. That is not like Rebbe Yankiv. Now, in the source we just read, this brief source, it was pointed out Tohor, that the Dvash Gazin is Tohor, Almo Boi Machshava, in order to relegate it to the realm of food, you would have to plan on eating it, have an intent to eat it. We want to infer from this, though, Michlal, the Dvash Dvorim Lo Boi Machshava. That text is added by the Shita Mekubetzes. We can infer that Dvash Dvorim does not need any specific intention. It's automatically classified as food. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that makes this point. Dvash Bekavarto Metamik Tumas Oichlin Shaloi Bemachshova. The Dvash in the honeycomb, in the unit in which the bees produce the honey, even though it's still in the kaveres, at that point a person didn't have any mindset or thought concerning the eating of that, and yet we see it's considered tumas ochlin, or subject to tumas ochlin, without any additional machshava. So this supports the inference that we made from the previous source that dealt with the Dvash HaGazon, that they would, yes, need, they're considered tahor, meaning that without any intent, they're not considered food, inferring from that the Dvash Dvorim is considered food even without any specific intention. The Gemara continues with a new substance, Choli de Yachmurta. Rashi explains, Choli de Yachmurta ke'ein beitze zohar shachamora motzi'a meirachma. There's a creature called a yachmur, and the female version of this exudes from its organs of reproduction, from its womb, there comes forth something that's it might be a spherical substance. Rashi describes it as Ke'ein Beitze Zohar, which, for the sake of translation, we will say something like male testicles that come forth from this creature. We want to know about that. Sovur Rabbonon Lemeimar. The Rabbonon thought that this stuff that's coming out are Be'e Ninu Vasiron, that they are male testicles that somehow became detached, and therefore they would be called Aver Min HaChai, that which is detached from a living creature and is therefore forbidden. Omar Rav Safra. Rav Safra says, no, you got it all wrong. You want to know what that substance is coming out of the Yachmur is. Zaro de Ayola Hu. De Ozu Boser Ayalta. These are creatures, Ayol and Ayalta. One's male and one is female. The Aidi de Rachmo. We should just go over that Zara is the male seed, or the semen from the Ayol. It pursues its female counterpart. However, V'aydi derach motzar lo mizdakiko. Since it has a very narrow opening, the male, it's difficult for them to unite. And the female, we'll just say, doesn't unite very readily with the male. And the male, though it's in heat, or it's in a state where it wants to mate, the also boser yachmurta, and it goes to another creature. It goes to a yachmur, and it deposits its zera in this yachmurta, in this female other variety animal. And in the course of time, the zera coagulates apparently, and vinasri, and it falls out, and it comes out as a congealed substance, looking like what was described before as the beitze zocher, when in fact it's not that at all. And what's important for us is that it's not aver minachai. Omar Rav Huna, or Habo Keneged Ponov Shel Chamor Mutter. Rashi explains it's a type of afterbirth that comes together with a donkey when it's born. It's a type of, literally, or is a skin, it's type of some type of skin substance that covers the face of a donkey. And Rav Huna says that it's mutter, one would be allowed to eat that. My taima, why, isn't it something from the donkey? No. Pirsha bi'almahu. It's considered a mere exusion or a refuse, so to speak, and not classified, therefore, as animal meat, animal substance itself. Omar Rav Chisda, Tanya de Messiah Loch. Rav Chisda tells us that there is a Tanaic source that supports this. Or Habo Keneged Ponov Shel Adam, Bein Chai Bein Meis Tohor. This is a similar phenomenon, and this source tells us that it's Tohor, means it doesn't produce Tumas Meis, doesn't communicate any Tumah. And it says here, Bein Chai Bein Meis, my love. What are we to assume from this? Or what are we to understand? Bein Hu Chai Vimo Chayo, Bein Hu Meis Vimo Meisa. Meaning, whether both remain alive, or even if both are dead. In other words, a human being is giving birth, and she dies, and the offspring is dead, and still this or habal keneged upon him is considered tohar. So it shows us that it's called pirsha bi'alma. It's no different than, let's say, a body waste, which includes feces, feces and urine. It's not associated with actual human flesh, and as a result, it does not communicate any tumah. This would support what we described before as the Or Habo Keneged Ponov Shel Chamor. The Gemara tries to reject this, though, and says, Loi. The fact that it's Tohor in this source is a function of Bein Hu Chai, V'imo. Now, Rashi's Girsa on this word is Chaya, Bein Hu Meis, V'imo Chaya. With Rashi's Girsa, it's easy to understand that the attempted rejection is that in both situations described in the source, you see that the mother is alive. And therefore, the Or Habo Keneged Ponav Shel Adam is a function of some type of film that's produced by the mother who is alive, and hence there's no tumas meis associated with this substance. The Gemara asks, but v'hotanya, how can you say that? We have a source that says bein hu chai vimo chaya, bein hu meis vimo meisa. Here you have this scenario where both the child and mother are dead, and yet the substance, the Or Habo Keneged Ponov, is Tohor, indicating to us that it's not coming from them. It's some type of filmy film or substance that's classified as Pirsha. So he says back, so I Tanya, if it says it. If you have a source, you can't argue with sources. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a topic heading, and it reads Dag Tomei Shabola Dag Tohor V'chein HaHefech. A unkosher variety sea creature, a Dag Tomei, swallows a kosher variety, smaller fish, and the opposite scenario. How do we deal with it? So the Mishnah says, Dag Tomei Shabola Dag Tohor Mutar Bachila. If you catch the unkosher variety fish and open it up, and you find this kosher variety creature inside, you can eat it. However, v'tor shibola dag tomei, a large variety, a kosher variety fish that consumes a smaller unkosher variety, fish, that's osir b'achilo lefi she'eino gidulo. The smaller fish found inside of it, if it's unkosher, is not something produced from it. And likewise, in the first case, the kosher variety is not something that was produced by the unkosher larger animal. The Gemara attempts to make an inference here. It says, Taimo de chazine de bola. The Mishnah is describing a case where we saw this happen. When it says in the Mishnah, Shebola, the implication is that we saw, we knew that the dag tome swallowed the dag tor. We saw it, or we know it. Holo chazine de bola. However, if you don't see the swallowing, the consumption of it, if you don't see it, you don't know for sure. And then let us say you caught an unkosher variety fish and found inside of it what looks like a kosher variety fish, we will say ashrutze ashritz, that it developed inside its offspring. In other words, inside the dag tome, there developed its offspring, which it might have looked like a kosher variety thing, but it's simply not kosher because it's its own offspring. Desanya, and we have a source that describes the reproduction of different kinds of sea creatures, and it says dag tome mashritz, unkosher variety fish are live bearers. In other words, their offspring develops within them. Dag tor matil beitzim, kosher variety fish lay eggs. Okay, with that having been said, so when we look once again at the beginning of the Mishnah that said dag tome shebola dag tor mutar b'achila, we just qualify that and says that you can eat the thing found inside the unkosher variety creature because I saw or I knew that it swallowed. And it was a shark that swallowed a sardine. But if I didn't see the shark swallow the sardine, and I caught a shark, cut it open and found something that looks like a sardine inside of it, we will say you cannot eat it because this is simply a baby developing inside of this shark. The Gemara now asks, Ihochi ki chazino de bola, even if you saw the shark swallow a sardine and then opened up the shark and found the sardine looking thing inside, amrinon, we should be able to say hi iaklo, that which it swallowed it already digested, v'hai yeshutzi ashritz, and that which I found inside is its own offspring. So how can you say that even if you see it swallow you see the unkosher swallow the kosher, that you are allowed to eat it? So to answer this, the Gemara has, and you can see with our markings, some double underlines. There's a series of answers to this particular question. Omar Rav Sheshes, the question being, how can the Mishnah say that you are allowed to eat a creature that has a kosher look to it when you know that the unkosher sea creature swallowed it? So Rav Sheshet says, Kigoin shemotsoi derech beis horei. When you opened up the shark, for example, you found the kosher variety looking thing at the point of or in the part of the animal where its refuse exits. That's the anal canal, if you will. That's derech beisri. If it were its own offspring, that is not its reproductive area, and hence it's clearly not a baby shark. Rav Papa Omar kagoin shemotsoi derech beis habliya. You found it in its alimentary canal, where the swallows its food. That's where you found this kosher variety fish, inside the unkosher variety fish. And hence, very much like Rav Sheshes's argument, it's not its reproductive area, and hence there's no problem. Rav Nachman Omar Kigoin Shemotzoi Shalem. Rav Nachman says, even if you found it in some other area, it still would not be considered its offspring, because what you found, what the Mishnah describes, you found a totally mature-looking kosher variety fish. Had it been its own offspring, it wouldn't have been so developed. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi takes upon a new approach altogether. He says that the Mishnah is not talking about a case where I even saw it swallow. I simply found it inside. I found the kosher variety thing inside. Roiv dogim b'minon mashritzen. Most fish bear offspring that look like themselves. Now, I found this very odd-looking thing, odd vis-a-vis the parent. And ukemi shibola lefonenu domi. And therefore, it says, if I find a kosher variety creature inside an unkosher variety fish, it's as if I saw it swallow, because of this principle that that rove dogim produce offspring that look like themselves. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.